The growth star was a newcomer, Sea Alaska, number 951, a seafood products concern headquartered in Juneau, Alaska. Its sales soared 684% from $17.6 million in 1979 to $137.9 million last year. That's how an article in the June 15, 1981 issue of Fortune magazine described the Juneau-based Sea Alaska Corporation, making its debut in the prestigious Fortune 1000. But in the years since then, the Native Corporation, one of 13 regional corporations created by the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, has had a change of fortune. Just last year, Sea Alaska recorded losses of $28 million. According to Sea Alaska Chairman and Chief Executive Officer Byron Mallott, the corporation is still a comparable size to what it was in 1980.
The impact, of course, has been on earnings, and those have deteriorated substantially since 1980, due largely to the impact of the world recession on timber markets and on salmon markets, which are two principal businesses comprising over 80% of our total revenues. And also, speaking quite frankly, we're a corporation that grew very fast, very quickly, from a company in 1979 with revenues of about $14 million to 1981 with revenues of $230+ million, and there are a lot of growing pains that were associated with that, and we're in the process of shaking things out and rearranging and reorganizing and taking stock of our circumstances.
Some of that rearranging included making Mallott, a Tlingit and Sea Alaska shareholder who had been chairman of the board, chief executive officer of the corporation as well, replacing Michael Chittick, a non-native with a Dartmouth MBA who had been recruited by Sea Alaska. In addition to management changes, Sea Alaska is seeking to reduce operating costs by cutting staff, is writing off more than $11 million in losses, selling the multi-storied corporate headquarters in Juneau, reducing some business operations, and canceling proposed purchases such as NEFCO, the New England Fish Company.
We have restructured our timber and water transportation businesses. We'll sell off several assets that aren't currently being used in our business operations in order to reduce debt and create cash. Hopefully we'll be able to put the corporation at the end of 1983 in a healthy position with respect to our bank debt, which will be reduced with the exception of the seafood bank line to almost zero. We will have reduced, as I indicated, our operating costs substantially. We will have restructured the entire corporation sufficiently to allow us the marketplace flexibility, particularly in our timber operations, so that we can respond much more quickly to market circumstances than we have been able to in the past 2 years.
Some of the write-offs, some of the losses have been loans to village corporations such as Sciatica. Do you find that Sea Alaska's present financial position will preclude financial assistance to village corporations?
Where we have a business relationship with a village corporation and it serves the interest of Sea Alaska and the village corporation, from a business viewpoint, for Sea Alaska to provide financing for a business venture, that is not precluded, and Sea Alaska will have that capability. We will not, in the future, however, serve as banks, as a bank for village corporations, and we don't have to. Village corporations have in Southeast, several years of business operations now, and are able to present their own balance sheets and their financial capability to financial institutions and secure their own financing. This was not the case several years ago.
In the past, there have been, in this region as in others, concerns voiced by Village Corporation leaders and shareholders about the responsiveness or lack of responsiveness of the regional corporation to Village Corporation and Village needs. Do you think that's going to increase as a result of your profile at this point?
I'm not sure that there's been a lot of frustration here in Southeast between the Village Corporations on the one hand and Sea Alaska on the other. Now, at the shareholder level, there may be. Village Corporation shareholders are also Sea Alaska Corporation shareholders. And so to some degree, the interests can be held as being very close. There's always going to be something of an ambivalence in the business relationship there, because Village Corporations are at once completely separate business corporations from the regional corporations, yet we have the same shareholder base, and because of our geographic location, have many of the same business interests. And so there will always be business opportunities for us mutually to deal with, and we're going to have to look at those on a case-by-case basis. And as to the question of whether one or the other is doing enough for the other, our perspective is that, you know, those will be determined by the respective business opportunities for each of us.
Back in, I think it was spring of 1980, Sea Alaska hosted the first elders conference from the region, paying for the transportation, the accommodations, and expenses of the elders present, and encouraged elders to present their ideas. Some of these ideas took fruit in the Sea Alaska Heritage Foundation. Mm-hmm. Will you be able to continue to support the Heritage Foundation, and if so, in what way?
Absolutely. Even in 1982 and in 1983, two difficult years for Sea Alaska, we still continue to support the Sea Alaska Heritage Foundation. We provide its core funding for its central staff. In 1982, we funded the Heritage 82 program, which brought Native people from throughout the region to a gathering here in Juneau, which was taped and recorded. We continue to provide money for scholarships. We continue to fund special projects that hopefully provide meaningful assistance in the cultural and heritage and traditional aspect areas of our existence as Native people. While in 1983, these are funded at reduced levels as Sea Alaska returns to profitability. I intend, as chairman and CEO, to make every effort to see that those kinds of things are funded at increased levels. They're hugely important to us as a corporation and as a people. We must, however, you know, and I always repeat this even to myself now, that unless the corporation survives as a business institution, that is, unless we can be profitable and maintain that profitability on an ongoing basis, it's going to be difficult for us to if not impossible for us to provide funding for the other things that we've just been discussing. And I guess one of the things that I've learned in the past several years as a businessman is that the time and full attention that is required to the management of the business affairs of the corporation is almost overwhelming of all of your time. And so that, you know, it's going to be necessary for us to create separate institutions and separate areas of responsibility for these other very important areas of corporate concern, and those of us on the business side are going to have to give full attention to making the business work. We ain't going to have money to fund these other important corporate priorities if we aren't a successful business corporation. There are no other sources for that kind of need. And, you know, we have the opportunity here to take assets that are owned by the people, turn them into dollars that can be used for these other things on a continued growing basis while still meeting the other corporate obligations too. But my point is that in order for us to have that opportunity, we've got to make the business work, and we've got to make it work in the best, most efficient way possible, and that you can't mix on a day-to-day operating basis the two areas, that the people who attend the business have got to attend to business, because it's a very competitive business world out there. And if you have businessmen who are spending, you know, portions of their time dealing with cultural issues, heritage issues, so forth, when they have other major business responsibilities, someone else out there in the same competitive area having the same kinds of responsibilities, but without having to spend time in the special areas that I just mentioned, those people are going to be cutting our people the ribbons because they're spending more time doing what they're supposed to be doing. I guess the distinction that I'm trying to make is that we can be native people as an individual, but that from 7 in the morning until 6 at night or whatever your business hours are, that you've got to be devoted to the business. And I guess I may be overemphasizing it, and if I am, it's because it's a lesson that I've personally learned in the last several years.
Where at this point would you rank Sea Alaska among the 13 regional native corporations?
Well, in terms of overall revenues, we're still by far the largest. In terms of business complexity, we're still very much the largest and most diverse. In terms of profitability, however, we're way out there in Never Never Land right now, whereas 2 years ago we were the most profitable. So our fortunes have changed quickly. I intend to change them the other way just as quickly and to keep them there.
Byron Mallott, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of the Alaska Native Claims Act mandated Juneau-based Sea Alaska Corporation. I'm Karen Michelle McPherson. Chinook is a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.